I've had the opportunity of talking with thousands of couples and to hear their stories. And many times when I walk away from a couple after talking with them or counseling with them, I sort of shake my head inside a little bit and I feel for them and the struggles they're going through. But then I recognize that in many ways, it was just foolish decisions that the one or both made in their marriage that caused them to be where they are today.
Welcome to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. He's a conference speaker and coach and your advocate for the family. It's day one of Randy's The Intentional Living Process for Marriage. Now, from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, where we want to help you be intentional for your marriage, here's Randy.
Thank you, Kurt, and I do welcome you live here to our Intentional Living Studio. The teaching studio standing by. We're going to step over there and share with you the series, a three-day series beginning today on marriage. And as Kurt mentioned, the intentional living process, the step-by-step process of goal setting, developing habits. I'm going to share the top 10 list with you during these next 3 days. That'll be very practical for you and how to declutter your marriage and then to pursue your spouse. A great series from the Intentional Living Center, and we're going to begin in just 30 seconds. Before we do, speaking of marriage, I am very excited to participate in a special date night in St. John's, Michigan this Friday night. And it's a special benefit for a precious couple. You can read all about it. This couple was with me on Intentional Living several weeks ago, and I'm looking forward to just sharing what it means to have an intentional marriage this Friday, St. John's. And if you'd like ticket information, go to theintentionallife.com, click on events. All the information is there. It's going to be kind of a cool evening. It's going to be a good time. All right, let's continue the program today as we begin Intentional Living for Marriage. Welcome to this session on the intentional living process. This session focusing on marriage as I take you through the steps that I have found in working with people over the years that really works. And I promise you that if you follow these four steps that we talk about here in intentional living, something radically positive can happen in your life. Not only in the area of marriage, by the way, but it can happen in the other areas that we're teaching in this series as we focus on living intentionally. And this process that we're going to go through is applicable to every area of your life. You know, as a counselor now for nearly 30 years, I've had the opportunity of talking with thousands of couples, either individually or following a conference that I'm teaching, and to hear their stories. And many times when I walk away from a couple after talking with them or counseling with them, I sort of shake my head inside a little bit and I feel for them and the struggles they're going through. But then I recognize that in many ways, it was just foolish decisions that the one or both made in their marriage that caused them to be where they are today. Because I believe that you and I can have the best marriage on this planet if we choose to. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to be perfect, but we can have a good marriage, maybe even a great marriage, if we get up every day and choose to live intentionally. And this little process that we're going to go through, I call the freedom process, I think will make a difference in your life. I was thinking about being foolish, and the scripture speaks to this. In Proverbs 14:3, it says that a fool's talk brings a rod to his own back. And sometimes in our marriage, it's like we do something foolish. We do something dumb. You know, we say something, we do something. And it's like taking a rod and beating ourselves on the back, our own back. So we hurt ourselves. And that's a foolish thing to do. Here's the scripture in Proverbs 12:16 says that a fool will show his annoyance at once. I thought, boy, is that applicable to marriage? How often do we find ourselves in our marriage, just whatever we're feeling, whenever we get annoyed, it just shows up and it creates difficulty in the marriage. Many proverbs, I think, are applicable, but here's one that's very graphic because I think it really shows how foolish we can be in our lives. Proverbs 26:11 says, as a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool will repeat his folly. And many times in our marriage, we continue to get in this pattern that's very unhealthy and kind of a vicious cycle where we do one thing and then we try to correct it and then we do it again and around it goes. And so we're hoping that through this lesson and through this intentional living process that we're teaching, we're going to be able to break this foolish cycle in our life, in my life as well, and to be very intentional in our marriage. And so today, it's going to be a very practical lesson as we talk about how to be intentional in your marriage. You may recall that in the last lesson, we talked about this little freedom process. I'm using the acrostic of freedom, F-R-E-E, which is at the core of this process or plan that we go through of living intentionally. And let me just rehearse with you what that acrostic stands for. The F stands for focusing on intent before action. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. Repeating actions until they become habits. See, those are the two bookends that I've been talking about with intentional living. On one end, it's living intentionally. On the other side, it's taking action. It's the living part. So it's intentional and it's the action. So the focus and then repeating actions until they become habits. But you can't be successful with that unless you eliminate from your life those things that we call clutter. And we're going to talk about different forms of clutter. And today, I'm going to focus on the one of emotional clutter. We'll get to that in a few minutes. And then I think it's important with the last E in the acrostic of F-R-E-E to enjoy and celebrate the goodness of God. And we're going to just touch on that as well during this month. So let's begin with the letter F as we go through these four steps of this intentional living process. For the letter F, it's focus on intention before action. What does intention mean? See, intention is an internal process. It's something that goes on inside of you. It's the intention of your life is shaped by your values. It's shaped by your beliefs. It's firm over time. It's hard to measure. You know, I tell people in my conferences that we judge ourselves by our intentions, but we judge others by their actions. See, we don't see another person's intention. That's hard to measure. It's more, you know, tied to the idea of motivation, what's driving a person to do what they do. And one of the things that we find in our lives is if we don't stay focused on finding God's intention for our life, if we don't get God's intention, then we're just dealing with our own intention. And that can fall into being selfish and shallow and hollow. And that's why so often when we establish a goal, because goals come out of intention, right? You got intention, it leads to goals. Goals, when they're accomplished, sometimes leave us feeling hollow because they're not tied to something bigger with a greater purpose and meaning behind them. And so finding our intention in our marriage is important. And not only what our intention is, but what God's intention is.
You're listening to Dr. Randy's series, The Intentional Process, and he'll pick up where he left off in just a moment. As you probably have heard, for the past couple of months, we've been in a bit of a donation shortfall, and we need your help. For your much-needed gift of $100 or more, or any amount God leads you to give, we'll send you a brand new DVD with four of Dr. Randy's teachings on the intentional living process for marriage, parenting, finances, and faith. Can you help? Then go to theintentionallife.com and click on Donate. Or call during West Coast business hours, 1-888-1717, and press option number 4. Thanks. Don't go away. Dr. Randy will be right back.
Intentional Living is here to equip you with powerful biblical teaching and inspire you with success stories from people living an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
I was a freak, a thief, Grand Theft Auto, lied just to lie. Coma for a week and a half after a drug-induced suicide attempt. And that was 20 years ago. There's just so much that God has and is doing, and the intentional living has never been so hard. It's hard, but it is so worth it.
With your gift of $100 or more, you'll help the Intentional Living Center continue to equip and inspire families and eliminate a recent donations shortfall and get back in good shape to continue helping people and families to live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. And to say thanks for your much-needed gift of $100 or more, or any amount God leads you to give, we'll send you a brand new DVD with four of Dr. Randy's teachings on the intentional living process for marriage, parenting, finances, and faith. Call now, 888-1717, or go online to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Now, let's join Dr. Randy back in the Intentional Living teaching studio as he continues the Intentional Living process for marriage.
Finding our intention in our marriage is important, and not only what our intention is, but what God's intention is. I think I shared with you last time a verse from the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12. It's a powerful verse that talks about intention. Here the writer to the Hebrews says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and the intentions of the heart." And so the Word of God, the Bible, is given to us as followers of Christ to sort of lay us bare, to open us up. And when we read the Bible, it exposes our intentions, see? It exposes our attitude. It exposes that deep part of our life that, frankly, no one else sees except for God. And so when we're thinking of living intentionally, it's important to make sure that you focus on your intention before you focus on your action. Because when you do that, what you're doing is you're getting first things first. And then after you have this process of getting the internal work done, then actions. See, actions are external. Actions change over time. Actions are measurable. Actions are things that other people can see. And so this process that we go through is pretty simple. It's pretty clear. Get your intention right, and my intention, based on what God's Word teaches. And I'm going to share with you what I think God's intention is for marriage in just a moment. And then from intention, we want to turn that into a very practical goal. And the goal in your marriage, I'm going to give you 10 potential goals in just a few minutes. And I want you to pick one of them for the next week or the next 30 days and make that a goal for you, for your marriage. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. So taking intention, turning it to a goal, turning a goal and turning that into an action. In other words, something that you do. And then the highest is taking the action and turning it into a habit, because habits multiply in our life. If you have a habit of loving your spouse, if you have a habit of being patient with your spouse, if you have a habit of communicating on a regular basis and solving problems, if you have a habit of just eliminating the kinds of emotions from your life that are destructive in your marriage, or the blame game that can go on in marriage, you're going to have a great marriage. There's no question about it. If the two of you are in sync when it comes to being intentional in this area, it's going to change the quality of your marriage relationship. So as we think about this thing of intention, remember that intention, you can have the best intentions in the world, but if there's no action, see, an intention without action is simply a good intention. And we talk about that in our conferences a lot, about people who live with good intentions, and I refer to them as like crickets. You know, we make a lot of noise. We want people to hear what our goals are and the things that we aspire to do and how good we are. Come on, we all do this. But if we don't take action, if we don't follow through with our intentions, then it's like the cricket. It's just a good intention. On the other hand, you can have actions, you know, be busy doing things, but if you don't have the right intentions or the right motives or the right goals in your life, then it's a very unintentional life. And there's many of us, frankly, in our marriages that are jumping from, you know, one idea, one book, you know, one tape, one conference, one thought to another, and we're never getting clear on what God's intention for marriage is. Here's what I believe. When you and I get a clear picture in our hearts and our minds of what God's intention is for marriage, that'll radically change how you and I live every day in our marriage. Now, let me suggest this as what I see God's intention is for marriage, put into my own words. I believe that God's intention for your marriage, if you're a Christian couple, is to be a loving, supportive, God-centered relationship between a man and a woman that illustrates what God's love for His church looks like and feels like. We see that in the book of Ephesians, that husbands are commanded to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And there's a picture there that God wants to get into our hearts, that as a man and woman, you know, a bride and groom, if you please, love each other and demonstrate that kind of love on a regular basis, it becomes a picture of the body of Christ. It becomes a picture of the church. It becomes a picture of what God's intention is for how we operate as a body of believers. So now let me move on to the real core of this lesson. And it's repeating actions and attitudes and make them habits. In other words, repeat actions and attitudes and drive them into becoming habits in your life. As we discussed, intentions lead to goals, goals lead to actions, actions lead to habits, and habits lead to intentional living.
Boy, that's very true. That's the first day. We got more coming as we go through these top 10 lists and the process we call the Intentional Living Freedom Process for marriage. And in fact, this entire series is available on DVD, not only on marriage, but also on parenting and on your faith and finance. All of these on one DVD, and it's a very special offer during this urgent need, this time in the ministry when we're trying to get back on track financially. And I'm just going to challenge you to share a gift with us, to challenge you if you would help us with a gift of $100 or more, or any amount that God lays on your heart. We're going to get this four-part DVD series to you, The Intentional Living Process. And I think you're going to enjoy it. It'll be something you could use in small groups. You can share it with others. You could put it in the church library when you're through with it. It'll be something that'll be very practical for you. And it's our gift to you as you join us today. I can't emphasize enough the importance of your gift right now of encouragement. Again, theintentionallife.com and click on donate. Thank you so much. All right, we got callers standing by. Let's go first to Jerry in Arizona. Hi there, Jerry.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Appreciate your call. What do you think makes long-term marriage work?
Well, an elderly lady that was celebrating her 75th anniversary, I asked her what was the key to her and her husband celebrating the 75th anniversary. And she said, we kiss each other good night and tell each other every night that we love each other no matter what happened in the day, whether it was a disagreement or a happy day or something. And that has really helped me. And our parents, they were not... we were not raised Christian, but they taught us to respect other people, so we respect each other.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been married, Jerry?
It's going to be 43 years, but we were separated because he wanted to go his way. And one day my daughter told him, Dad, Mom's available, why don't you get remarried? And we did.
Hmm. Wow.
So we were married 10 years, and then he went his merry way, and then we got back together, and we're going on 14 years now.
Well, good for you, Jerry. You certainly would know, based on 10 years of experience of separation and hurt and pain, that commitment, but also it's the daily action. It's those little things that make a difference. Making a commitment, sticking with the commitment, speaking into our spouse's life every day, letting them know we love them, appreciate them. Huge difference. Thank you, Jerry. Renee's on the line now. Hi, Renee.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. How long you been married, Renee?
I'm 12 years.
12 years?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what do you think made these 12 years work for you?
Well, I think the key thing for us is that you know, it's not always marital bliss, but I think for the most part, we've had a really good relationship. And when we've had issues that have come up, we actually talk about them and we make changes based on our conversation. We just don't look at it one-sided. We both kind of look at each other's perspectives and make necessary changes and, you know, keep moving forward with it. And for me, I've never been married before, and my husband was, and I told him that when I get married, I'm only getting married one time. So I think that for me, I've always had that perspective that I'm going to make it work. And I think that in his mindset, he's changed his mindset to be like that as well, that that's why we listen to each other and make those changes.
Yeah. Let me tell you what you've done, Renee. You know it because you're experiencing it. But for others, here's what I think I've heard from Renee and her husband. They're careful to take positions. One of the things that we do in our marriage is take positions from time to time. And we take positions about our spouse, you this or you that, or you make up our mind about how they respond in life or what we think about them. And I'll tell you, this is a truth, and you get nothing else out of this half hour. This is a truth that will preach and is worth remembering. Whenever we take a position in life, then we have to defend that position. And it's easy in our marriage to take positions too quickly. Now, we need to have values and beliefs, but we also need to negotiate and talk and love and forgive, compromise at times, coming to agreement. But whenever we put our foot down, as it were, and not willing to communicate, boy, I'll tell you, then you defend that position. We have a defensive marriage. Defensive marriages ultimately will become disillusioned marriages and defective marriages and defeated marriages. I've seen it over and over. So what I hear you saying, Renee, is you guys are willing to talk, work it out, disagree, agree to disagree at times even.
Yes, definitely.
Which is powerful. All right. Thank you, Renee. Appreciate your call. Keep listening.
Thank you.
All right. And I hear the little one there, too. Barbara's in Georgia today. Hey, Barbara.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
I'm great. The sun is shining and it's a beautiful day.
That's terrific. Hey, how long have you been married, Barbara?
We've been married 33 years.
All right. What have you learned about this thing of making marriage work?
Well, this is our second marriage, both of us. And before we got married and had decided to get married, we sat down and made a list of what our expectations were of each other. And we went down that list, and one of the things that we promised each other was that we would not do anything to jeopardize our marriage. We're adults. If we want to be married, we're going to be married. And that that our marriage would always be in the forefront. And then we also promised each other that when we got into an argument, no matter how bad it got, that divorce and separation was not an option to even come up. And it has worked for us. We've, in fact, never even had to remind each other of those promises. So 33 years later, three kids later, four grandkids later, we're still going and still just as much in love as we were, probably more in love than we were when we got married. Mm-hmm. I'm real proud of that.
What about your kids? How have you been teaching your kids about life and marriage?
Well, we lost one of our children. One of our children died from an accident 20 years ago. He was our oldest, and we went through that. So we have gone through a lot of trauma. Our daughter is amazed that we're still married because all of the friends that she has ever had, the parents have been divorced. And so I think that she really takes notice in how we conduct our marriage. And not only that, but, the kids have always been involved. It's always been a family. And they just see how we treat each other. And that, to me, is really important, the affection. My husband never lets a day pass by that I don't get a kiss and a hug when he walks in from work. He says he loves me all the time. I do the same with him. We just, I don't know. It's not so much as teaching them with words, but more with action, right. I guess.
That's the way to do it. Kids are, and even adult children, they catch more than they learn from our words. They see how we behave and how we respond and how we treat each other, and that's what matters most. Very good. Thank you, Barbara. Appreciate your call.
Thank you. Thank you for your show.
When I first married my husband, I found out he had an extreme rage issue all the time and never hit us, but he was very verbal. But God continually told me to just wait and promised me a good marriage. And I stayed and prayed and stayed and prayed. And one of my prayers was for my husband to physically see what he was doing to us. And he saw it for the first time and truly apologized and never did it again. And today, we actually are in marriage ministry at our church, and we continually pray with couples that have these anger issues. I do have that marriage that God promised me.
Boy, you know, it doesn't always happen and end that way. But God was doing something special, and knowing that balance, you know, knowing when to be tough, knowing when to say, hey, enough's enough, and knowing when to, you just have to really trust God and get good counsel. But thank you for sharing your story. In your case, God really moved in a very, very powerful way. You know, we're going through this freedom process, we call it, focusing on the right goals, repeating actions into habits, decluttering your life, and then enthusiastically pursuing your spouse. This entire series, this process for marriage, has been recorded on DVD from a teaching I did here at our center, but also we did one on parenting and also on finance and on faith, all of that on one DVD, and it's our gift to you today as you step up with this urgent need. Your help is needed urgently, and I can't overemphasize it. There's a lot of needs we know in the world. I'm asking you just to pray about this need and share a little bit to help us. If you could share $100 or more, some, maybe you could give substantially more because you know how the Intentional Living message is impacting people. Or whatever size gift it is, we're going to send to you the Intentional Living Process on DVD, all four parts, as our gift to you, an urgent need. Here's how you can do it. Either call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. And when you press number 4, it'll take you right to our staff who love to talk with you on the phone if you're more comfortable doing that. Or online, safe and securely and quickly, go to theintentionallife.com and click on donate. And thank you for your support. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about the freedom process, moving to the letter R, repeating attitudes and actions into love habits in marriage. We'll see you then.